freedom, and you know, it is because of God that we have that, and that we need to remember every day. And I pray every day that, you know, that we remember to be a nation of God, and that is what has made us so great. What I want to speak to you tonight about is about homecoming. And I'm not talking about the homecomings where you get to watch a football game and vote for a king and queen and stuff like that. I'm talking about, I love a homecoming. And let me kind of give you an example. Recently, we had a chance to go to Atlanta and go to the Lads of Leaders. And we had a great time. We enjoyed ourselves. We were very edified. We had an opportunity to be spiritually encouraged while we were there. But one of the things is we stayed at this Marriott, a very plush hotel, and yet when you're sleeping in the beds, you know, this is a big queen-size bed. It's got more pillows on it than I have in my own home. Yet you don't sleep as well there. You're in a strange environment. Even when you go on vacation or you're visiting family, you ever notice you don't always sleep as well because it's not the same bed, it's not the same feeling. You don't feel always as safe as you're normally used to being in that type of environment. And when I got home, I was so looking forward to it because I knew I was going to be back in my own bed sleeping, and I knew that I was going to have a nice sound sleep. And I think part of that is only because of the fact that not only did I know that there was the comfort there, but I also know that I was safe there. Well, there's some other people that enjoy a good homecoming. One of them is Satan. Satan enjoys a very good homecoming as well. If you would turn with me, please. We're going to Matthew 12, reading 43 through 45. Again, Matthew 12, 43 through 45. And talk about the fact that Satan, of course, enjoys a good homecoming because he wants you to be out of your safe zone, wants you to go out and to sin. And isn't sin sometimes kind of like being on a vacation in a sense that you're looking for enjoyment outside of that safe zone? And it reads, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a person, passes through waterless places looking for rest, but does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the home I left. When it returns, it finds the house empty, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. So the last state of that person is worse than the first. It will be that way for this evil generation as well." To me, it's talking in there about sin and how when we sin and we go outside of our comfort zone, doesn't seem to put weight on you, that just that feeling that you get on you. And people who sin tend to sin again and again and again sometimes. And they continue to add more and more burden, more and more weight onto their shoulders. And Satan enjoys that because that's what he wants. He wants you to be burdened. He wants you to be unsafe. He wants you to feel that that's more important than your own home. As we know that Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Christians are also tempted every day. You know, James talks about it in 1:13 through 14. And sometimes we say that we talk about being in the church, and we talk about how Jesus keeps us safe, and we know and we study. But a great man told me one time that just because you're done with sin doesn't mean sin's done with you. One thing to talk about in that is that, you know, to understand that when we're thinking about sin, we need to understand that it can be stopped. But it's going to take a lot of work on our part as Christians. If you would, please, we're going to talk about 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. And 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. Again, we have to think about the things as Christians. It's not easy sometimes. It is hard. You know, but it's important to understand what we have available to us. And it reads, "For this reason, make every effort to add your faith excellence, to excellence knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection unselfish love. For if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing your Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. But concerning the one who lacks such things, he is blind, that is to say, he is nearsighted, since he has forgotten about the cleansing of his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to be sure of your calling and election. For by doing this, you will never stumble into sin. For thus an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be richly provided for you." You know, in this, it tells us we do have a lot of work. But it also tells us another thing. There's somebody else that loves the homecoming also, and that is Jesus. He wants us to come home. He wants you to come here. He wants you to feel safe. He wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants you to understand that you can come back to him, that you have that opportunity. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it reads, "For trial has overtaken you that is not faced by others, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear. But with the trial will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it." Every day we're tempted. Every day we have opportunities to sin. But also, he tells you right here, there's also ways to come back. There's also ways to be saved. Isn't that what it's all about, is to see the kingdom? And there is a lot of work ahead. But there's also that opportunity, and it's always there for us. The church can also be your comfort zone. Sometimes we travel and we go to other visitors' congregations, but don't we enjoy coming back and seeing family and friends and feeling comfortable in that respect? If you have sinned, you have the prayers of the church that are here to help you. If you need comfort, we are always here to wrap our arms around you. But it is that we give the grace to Jesus, because he is the one that helps to lift that burden off of your shoulders. As I stated before, when you sin, there's burden that keeps piling up on you. If you want that burden lifted, I can speak from experience myself that when I came forward, that you have a burden that's lifted, that you just have a feeling of a sense of peace. And that's what we can offer for you. You know, it's important that we have that comfort and the warmth, but there's things that we must do. In Romans 10:14, it says we must hear the word. And we must believe. In Acts 16:31, we must believe. In Acts 2:38, we must repent. In Romans 10:9, we must confess. In Mark 16:15 through 16, we must be baptized. There is water here. There's nothing stopping you if you don't want it to. We can be here to comfort you. We can baptize you, bring you into the fold of the Christians. But also, too, if you need to confess your sins, this is the place to do it. This is where we can give you comfort, peace, relief that burden off your shoulders, and know that Jesus is there for you. So, if you're looking for comfort, if you're looking for time, and you need, if there's anything that the church can do for you to help you, then please, will you come forward as we stand and as we sing?